All right, it is 1:35 on Thursday, the 17th of October, and this is the Portland Design Commission. Let's begin with introductions of Bureau Development Services staff who are here.
In a couple weeks, you can go out trick-or-treating.
Brian Tierney.
Laura Duvall.
Tim Herron.
Benjamin Nielsen.
Excellent. And commissioners who are here today, we are limited to five.
Sam Rodriguez.
Don Vallister.
Brian McCarter.
Zeri Santner.
And I am Julie Livingston. Commission members are all private citizens. We are appointed by the mayor to provide review of large projects within designated design zones. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. So we have, I believe, three items on our agenda today. The first is items of interest, about 10 minutes for items of interest. The second is a briefing on the Central City Green Loop, and that's about an hour long. And then the third is a Type 3 land use review for the OHSU hospital expansion. Items of interest. Tim, I think you were going to introduce items of interest today.
Yeah, great. Can I get the screen? Thank you. And then Commissioner Don went on assignment. I was since forwarded you about a week ago this email, and I just pulled this up again as Don requested, and I think we could scroll through, Don, what particular spots you want to look at. But essentially, there's been some buildings that have gone up recently that have had a higher than recalled reflectivity in their glazing expression. And so we thought we could zero in on this a little bit closer, technically speaking. Don's been doing some work reaching out to some technical experts. And I think with that, this was really more of a quick overview. What is it? How is it? Potentially how it relates to energy code, because I know that's been a concern for some when they spec the glass. And then what do we do moving forward? And I think it's the beginning of discussion. I don't know that we'll have resolution, but I wanted to give this opportunity for Don to kind of walk us through what he knows.
Yeah. Can you put the whole chart up, Tim, or is it just this top piece of it?
Well, I can, Don.
Scroll down, right?
I could just scroll down. And anything, the chart was very long.
Yeah. No, it's a big list.
City only gives us small screens.
Yeah. So there's only basically three common manufacturers of glass in the country. So this rep sort of pulled up each one of them, and you can see as we go through, basically, there's a lot of products available, but and with different reflectivities. And then there's products that are highly transparent, i.e. low iron glass. And then there's products that are not very transparent at all, which would be tinted, which get used around different parts of buildings, some vertically, some horizontally. But in general, anything below 20% would be in the low reflectivity column. Maybe 27 to 20% would be medium, and anything above that would be high. The building in question that promulgated this research was about 44% reflectivity. 44%, yeah. And it's really hard for us to see when we get a 6x6 or a 12x12 sample. What does that really mean in reality?
Was that in the approval documents?
Pardon me?
Was that in the documents that we saw that came through the hearings room?
I don't think so. They just brought in a little piece of glass and said, we're using this.
You know? Huh. Okay.
But it's something that we should reference in the future. And if you recall the Pepsi blocks, they're using a 11%.
Yeah, it's really low.
Which is about as low as you can get. 10%, 11% is very, very low. So from our standpoint, there's only one column that we need to look at. I don't have a pointer, but it's reflectance out. So that really makes it pretty simple. Anytime we're below 15%, I think we're kind of where we want to be. Mm-hmm. And anytime we get beyond that, unless it's special situations, we don't really want to be there.
Does solar ban appear on this list somewhere?
Yeah, it's down towards the bottom. I think the solar ban 60 is a real common one.
Yeah, we see solar ban 60 all the time. And every once in a while, we'll see solar ban 70. So those are 11 and 12%.
Yeah. Okay. So those are both.
Even solar ban 90.
With a low reflectance.
Okay.
Yeah, 90 gets up to 12%. So it's pretty good too. But you can see what happened to us on some of these.
Yeah.
And this one is the one in question.
Huh.
So it's way, way high, about four times as high as some of the others.
And then how do these things function in terms of the bird protection?
That's a whole other question.
Right.
I'll chime in on that because I'm actually struggling with that right now. Can you actually pull down to the little drawing?
The one above?
The one above, yeah. The one that shows the phase one, two, three, and four.
Yeah.
Apparently, the bird glass, it's a film, has to go on two, which is where you have your red line there.
Uh-huh.
It has to go on surface two, the inside surface of the exterior glass.
Which is where the low E coating usually
is. Affects the yes, it does. It affects the low E, and potentially they actually have lower energy values.
As a result.
So we're still looking into that. And then the other thing with that is apparently the other issue is that then where this piece of glass doesn't need to be tempered generally, if you're putting that film, you have to temper it, which has a whole different, I mean, there's a cost issue. It's not our problem here, but it's a cost issue.
But wait a minute. You're saying when that bird safe coating goes on phase two, that glass has
has to be tempered.
Why is that? Do you
because
have any
apparently
idea?
You can't, it's not a film that you just put on.
Yeah.
It's printed on the glass and you can't do it on any, I mean, it has to be tempered glass.
Huh. Okay.
So that's part of the issue, but it also affects the energy coefficient of the glass, apparently, in detriment of it.
Right.
And we're still studying it. So, you know, it also affects how it looks because it's got this dotted matrix.
Hmm.
So it looks like it's snowing outside.
Right.
So that's a whole other issue to be resolved.
Yeah.
But for our purposes, reflectance is pretty straightforward.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner Vallister?
Every applicant ought to tell us what it's going to be when they do their submittals.
Can I ask a question about this chart that you're showing?
Yeah.
Does the visible light transmittance value, which I think is the third column from the right, does that have any impact on how the window looks from the outside? Or how light is transmitted from the inside to the outside?
No. It's this coating, which is number two, seems to be the critical factor in a lot of the reflectance in the product.
Really, it's that coating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So most of the glass is the same, actually. And most of it has a slight tint to it. It's slightly green. If you look at the end of the panels, you'll see it look green. You can get it really transparent with low iron, but that tends to be about 25% more expensive than just the standard glass. So we don't get it. With the low iron,
yeah.
It's about 10 or 11. So it isn't much different than this other product.
No.
No. The only reason to do it is for clarity of what's behind the glass, really.
So Don,
merchants want it, that type of thing.
Our interest is that lower reflectance out at the public realm level, correct?
Right.
Not the rest of the building. Okay.
So public realm stuff. Yeah. So we're not looking at a opaque building, basically, like
at the public.
Just saw one go up. And it was more common in the 1970s when they did these all glass reflective buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see that much anymore.
So let me get that straight. We should not worry about whether this is less than 15% on the second floor up.
Correct.
For the rest of the building.
Well, yeah. But well, I think it depends on how we define public realm, and you know, I mean, it really gets to building design.
Building consistency. I mean,
it's
15% is still going to look like transparent glass.
Yeah.
Just not quite as good as 11, but still pretty transparent.
Our goal is eyes on the street, eyes on the place,
right. Safety. And then coherency in design, right? I mean, it would look odd if it, I mean, unless that was the design.
Right.
Where there's a change in reflectivity as you go up the building.
Yeah, I mean, I would, from a groundscape, yes, the reflectivity is an issue. I mean, having a mirrored wall on the ground floor is problematic, for sure. For guidelines, for ground floor windows, it wakes up all kinds of issues. I think we should be having an architectural conversation about a mirrored glass building that's 40 stories tall.
Right, that's so, a separate thing.
So, I mean, I think that relates to the conversation. So there's kind of two levels. And bird friendly would definitely kick in a big way with more reflectivity is not good.
Yeah.
And so
even that only goes to a certain height, as I understand.
Mm-hmm. 60 feet, though. It's pretty,
60 feet.
It basically is the covers a 5/1
or 5/1 buildings.
5/2 almost covers 100% of the building.
Thanks for doing this, Don.
Yeah.
Thanks for the information.
Thank you. And I'll track that. And I think what we may do is find a convenient way to make that a line item or a point of discussion so we're catching it early when our reviews are coming in, so that if there's intent behind reflectivity, that's daylighted clearly. And if not, that it get nailed down one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, how would you communicate that to applicants?
In much the same way we'd communicate anything about a quality material.
Okay.
It's like reflectivity matters. It could matter in a good way or a bad way. In the age of bird-friendly glazing, particularly in central city projects, that's a bad thing. Does it apply to certain parts of the building? Yes. Does that make the building less cohesive? Yes. So I think it's just part of the stew.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to suggest that we save other items of interest for the end of the agenda so that we can move directly to the Green Loop briefing. Sound okay?
Yeah.